Well. The postseason is here. The playoffs have begun in the WNBA. And already, the favorites are one step closer to meeting up in the semifinals. We're going to talk about what happened in New York, Connecticut, Minnesota, and Las Vegas. It's shooting lights out. And we in playoff mode. Let's get to it.
Sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud. That's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow, girl, that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
All right, good people, how y'all doing today on this Monday, September 23rd, 2024? It is Shooting Lights Out, and if you've been paying attention, we are in playoff season now. The playoffs have begun, and what has happened? All the home favorites took one step closer to getting to the semifinals, so that means they are one win away already. Despite defending home court, they're already one win away from advancing to the next round, and if all top four seeds do advance to the next round, the semifinals will be juicy than ever before. We'll get into all that. But those of you who are tuning in to Shooting Lights Out for the first time, thank you for tuning in to Shooting Lights Out. I am the playmaker down in silence, the head man in charge of the Playmakers Blog Sports Network, and the leader of Shooting Lights Out. Those of you who want to know what you can listen to this, you can listen to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. And those of you who pay attention to the Real Rise radio station, you'll be listening to this on Thursday on the Real Rise radio in primetime match at 7 p.m. Also, 502 American Angel radio station up in Indiana on Fridays in primetime match on that station. So we are expanding our reach, not only just on our YouTube channel, which we are live on right now, also our Facebook page, which we're live on right now. But we are expanding to radio stations. I hope we can continue to expand and continue to get better. Now, I want to thank everybody who has been with me from the start of this. That those of you, for full disclosure, those of you who don't know, this started out as Hoops Talk for about 2-3 seasons. And then I switched it to Shooting Lights Out. This is the second season for Shooting Lights Out. And it's been a joy to do. It's been a blast to do. And I'm happy to have done this. So now that I got all the good stuff out the way, those of you who are new, first thing, first order of business is me giving you news and notes from around the hardwood, which is not very much. Just got a couple of NBA news to get to, and then we're going to talk some awards and other things from the WNBA before we dive into the WNBA playoffs. So let's go around the hardwood. And to begin the round of hardwood segment, Raptors join Nets in returning Vince Carter's number 15 jersey. This is a great thing to be done. This was announced just about a little over 2 hours ago. Vince Carter jersey will be taking flight into the Raptors in two arenas this season. Carter, who is going to the basketball, or so I say the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame next month, will have his jerseys retired by the Toronto Raptors and the Brooklyn Nets. Good justice by both. On November 2nd, the Toronto Raptors will be the first team to retire the number 15 and raise it to the Raptors when the Toronto Raptors play host to the Atlanta Hawks on November 2nd. Okay. That will make Vince Carter the first player in a Raptors history to have his jersey retired by the franchise. So that was very well done by Vince Carter, and that's what he made his name at in Toronto. So it was only right that they get first dibs on retiring Vince Carter's jersey, because that's when he was at his Vince sanity self. You know, even though he couldn't get them to a championship, he sure put on a show. It was Vince sanity. He was the guy in Toronto. I mean, he was part of the Toronto Raptors when he won that slam dunk contest back in 2000. When we can hear Kenny Smith say, "It's over, it's over." And he was right, it was over. So Vince Carter started his ascent to Vincente in Toronto. But the Nets also joining that team. Okay. He's also set to have the same model from the Brooklyn Nets after they officially announced last week that they will raise Vince Carter's number 15 to the Raptors on January 25th, 2025 against the Miami Heat. Love it. Vince Carter was an 8-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA selection, the 1999 Rookie of the Year, the 2000 slam dunk contest winner that I just talked about. He played in 1,551 NBA games across 22 years in the NBA. Vince Carter is the only player to have appeared in 4 different decades in his NBA career. 4 decades. 2000. So we're talking 1990, 2000, 2010, and 2020. 4 decades. He began his career in the late 1990s, 1999. That's when he was drafted. Then you go into the 2000s, in the 2010s, in the 2020s. So yes, 4 decades of Vince Carter. He spent the first 5.5 seasons of his career with the Raptors, where he dubbed the name Air Canada, to me, Vince Sanity, and led all NBA and All-Star voting in 4 of them. He also led the Raptors into their first postseason appearance in 2000 and their first playoff series win in 2001 before losing in 7 games in the Eastern Conference semifinals to the Allen Iverson 76ers, which the 76ers went on to the NBA Finals before they got beat 4-1 by the Los Angeles Lakers, Kobe and Shaq days. All right. But he also played along with the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, his days with the Brooklyn Nets was pretty memorable too as well, because I do believe he was a part of that team that went to the finals with Jason Kidd and them. He was. I think they just happened to lose, however, but hey, Vince Carter had a hell of a career. That man, unfortunately for him, he is lumped into the category with the Charles Barkley, a Patrick Ewing, you know, those guys who were great as they are, never won a championship. Now we know Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Gary Payton, those players, they ran into Michael Jordan. Okay? That was their kryptonite, right? It was Michael Jordan. Vince Carter, on the other hand, well, we can say for 1 decade, he had to deal with Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe won't let nobody win it. And then if Shaq and Kobe wanted to win it, it would pop in the San Antonio Spurs winning. You had that going on. Then eventually Dwayne Wade, LeBron James came into the league. And that took off. And then eventually you got the Golden State Warriors. So it's just, you can, now that I think about it, between the Lakers, Spurs, Raptors, Heat, it's not really been a lot of different champions for us franchise-wise. Okay, so the Lakers on the Shaq and Kobe, they won 3. And then they went back after Shaq left and won 2 more. So that's 5 for the Lakers. That's in, we're talking the 2000s to now. Now, let's get to San Antonio. San Antonio has won 5. In this 3-decade span I say two and a half decades span, because we're in 2024. So that's 10 right there. So between the Lakers and the Spurs, that's 10 championships. Now you're throwing the Miami Heat. D-Wade, along with Shaq, brought home a title. And then LeBron James gave him two more. So that's three right there. So we'll be up to 13. Golden State has won four with the Steph Curry era. So we're up to 17. The Boston Celtics won two. That's 19.
Wow.
So between the Lakers, the Spurs, the Heat, Golden State, out of the four franchises, them four franchises combined for 17 titles from 2000 to now. Now, yeah, the Celtics with two. Denver 1-1. Detroit 1-1. Milwaukee 1-1. I think that's about it. Like I said, when it comes to franchise, not a lot of teams won a lot of championships in the decade that Vince Carter. Vince Carter played in the NBA. Good gracious. That's the way things go, I guess. But nevertheless, shout out to Vince Carter. Congratulations on having your induction to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame next month, and having your jersey hang up to the rafters of the Toronto Raptors and the New Jersey Nets. From some good news to some bad news. And no, I'm not playing Wade Barrett, even though it's Monday night. Knicks, Mitchell Robinson to miss start of season. The Heat just keep on coming, bro. The Heat just keep on coming for the New York Knicks.
Hell.
The Heat just keep on coming. Technical difficulties, my bad. New York Knicks center Mitchell Robinson will miss the beginning of the regular season after off-season ankle surgery. Now, the New York Knicks already don't have Isaiah Hartenstein because he signed a three-year deal, $87 million contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the New York Knicks would not have to rely on Parrish Achiuwa, who was on a one-year $6 million deal, and Jericho Sims. That's who the New York Knicks had to rely on as centers, which leads to question. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, Dante DiVincenzo. The Villanova Knicks will have to show up. Or should I say the New York Wildcats need to be respectful because they do play in New York. So calling them the Villanova Knicks doesn't sound right. So the New York Wildcats will have to make sure that they are on point at the beginning of the season. Now it's only two games, so they can keep it fairly interesting until they get a big center back. But not having a center is a pretty big deal right about now. But we'll see. Love what the Knicks did on the offseason. They kept their main guys, you know. So, but not having Mitchell Robinson, well, how would that feel if they have to deal with Joel Embiid at the beginning of the season? Or Giannis Antetokounmpo at the beginning of the season? Even though Nikola Jokic and different niggas at the beginning of the season. What about the Memphis Grizzlies now that they have Zach Edey at center? These are some questions that I need my Knicks fans to ask themselves. Now, I get it. The New York Wildcats, the four Villanova Wildcats, that's all part of the Knicks now. They are as advertised. They are good, especially Mikal Bridges, good two-way player. Josh Hart can play defense as well. Dante DiVincenzo, he can be a sniper when he needs to be. Nothing need to say about Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson speaks for itself, if we've been completely honest. But not having that guy in the middle, especially without Hartenstein going into OKC, that begs the question. How well can the Knicks do without having a big guy to man the middle of the paint, to anchor that defense? That is the question. So, we shall see. They are saying that they are looking at November or December for Robinson to make his debut. Okay. What about Julius Randle? Is he going to be healthy this season go around? He didn't play a lot of games last year. His season got cut short. Will he be healthy? Will he be fresh, ready to go this season? Because we don't know. We have no idea. So, a lot of questions for the New York Knicks going in, even though I like their roster. All right? That's the NBA stuff. Now let's talk some WNBA. Kia, Rookie of the Month, and also the AP Rookie of the Year, Caitlin Clark. Going into the final month of the season, now that we are in playoff action, 22.5 points per game, 5.6 rebounds a game, 9.1 rebounds a game. So she got Rookie of the Month, but she was also voted without any problems Rookie of the Year by the AP. So congratulations to Caitlin Clark getting the well honor, the well-deserved honor of Rookie of the Year. And that's the only award she's going to get for that. But before I get to the main important award, your 2024 WNBA peak performers, your rebounding champion with 13.1 rebounds per game is rookie sensation Angel Reese. That's crazy that she averaged 13.1 rebounds a game. That is literally ridiculous to average that amount of rebounds, especially in your first ever year in the professional league. This is ridiculous. Now, I know some of y'all gonna, sit here and say, oh, she was stat padding all this stuff. That was games she did. Nevertheless, it was a rookie year. You're not supposed to average 13 rebounds in your rookie season. Anybody that knows basketball knows that you're not supposed to come in here and just dominate the boards like that. That's not how things are supposed to go. Well, that's how things went. All right. For Angel Reese before she fractured her wrist and she was done for the season, and Chicago was done for the season as well. Your assist leader for the season at 8.4 assists per game, Caitlin Clark. Of course, that's not a surprise because when you watch her play the game of basketball, her court vision is phenomenal. Okay. Quite frankly, she could have had 9 assists because we want to be completely honest. Okay, she led the league in turnovers. I get that. So, but I do have a case by saying a good quarter to a half of those assists was off for her teammates not being able to catch the ball. A simple catch of the ball and you have a layup. Remember that? Now she does try to fit the ball a lot and it gets turned over and the other teams going the other way with it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not diminishing her turnovers one bit. But I do have an argument, and you have to acknowledge that a good 25 to 50% of her turnovers because her teammates couldn't catch the ball. 4 easy buckets, by the way. Whether it was a layup or an open 3. Catch it and put the ball in the bucket. That's all they had to do. But, hey, numbers are the numbers for a reason. But I just want to make sure that we understand that some of them numbers happen because of what took place. All right? Let's just keep it honest. Let's keep it honest and professional here, okay? Just saying. And then your scoring champion for the WNBA season at 26.9 points per game, the queen of the WNBA, Asia Wilson. Before I could see with Asia Wilson, let me go ahead and say this now. For the third time in her WNBA career, ladies and gentlemen, Asia Wilson, your Kia Most Valuable Player. And it was unanimous, by the way. She grabbed all 67 first place votes. Those of you who want to know the voting, Nafisha Collier grabbed most of the second place vote. She came in second. Who came in third place? Oh, that would be New York Liberty's own Breonna Stewart. And then Caitlin Clark came in fourth with Alicia Thomas coming in fifth. Caitlin Clark did not get one first or second place votes, by the way. All first place votes went to Asia Wilson, as it should. About 46 of the second place vote with Nafisha Collier, but the other one's going to Breonna Stewart. That's how Nipsey Shikai came in second. Breonna Stewart came in third. So, but this is all about the queen of the WNBA, AJ Wilson, who had a phenomenal, and I do mean phenomenal, 2024 regular season. She is the first WNBA player to lead the league in total points, total rebounds, and total blocks. Meaning we're not talking average per game. We're talking about the entire season. So let me break it down for you. AJ Wilson scored 1,021 points this season. She grabbed 451 rebounds this season. And she had 98 blocks. Okay? 98 blocks. All right? But her average for the season was her being first in points per game, which we just talked about, the scoring champion. She was second in rebound at 11.9 rebounds per game behind Angel Reese, who was at 13.1. First in blocks at 2.6 blocks per game. She had 1.8 steals per game, which is tied for fourth in the WNBA. You want to know why? She's getting the most well-deserved notification that she deserved all this whole time where people was flaming and going over Caitlin Clark, because this is what AJ Wilson does. Look at these numbers. Just look at them. The first ever player in WNBA history to score 1,000 points in a season. The most rebounds ever in a season at 451. And she almost had 100 blocks. Y'all better recognize. I know Caitlin Clark brought a lot of fans to the game. I understand. Everybody loves them some Caitlin Clark. But if you're going to sit here and say you're a basketball fan now, you better recognize this woman right here is the queen of the WNBA. Caitlin Clark is a princess. So is Angel Reese. She's the queen. Until she's ready to hang it up, she will forever will be the queen. Because by the time, because I can tell you right now, she's on GOAT status right now. As of right now, with her being a three-time MVP, a three-time WNBA champion, the scoring champion, the rebounding champion, she could be considered the GOAT of the WNBA. And it's not far-fetched to say that. I know that Deanna Taurasi is finishing up her 20th or 21st season whenever she's done playing in the playoffs. I know that I have said on numerous times that my goal of the WNBA thus far is Maya Moore. Oh, that's about to change because it's going to be AJ Wilson. I can tell you that right now. I know people want to throw Cheryl Swoops out there. Cynthia Cooper out there. I know all this. But there's no denying, if we talking GOATs, AJ Wilson is damn sure in the category. She's in the conversation. And she's number one on some of y'all lists. I would not push back because she's about to be number one in mine. Hell, I might need to go ahead and put her number one, put Mario Moore number two. Even problem is Mario Moore won four titles in a seven-year span. Four titles in a seven-year span, which is ridiculous. And you couldn't stop it. She chose to leave early for other things. That was her choice. That was her right. But that's why I always say, if Mario Moore wanted to hang it up so early, it wouldn't be no question if Diana Taurasi was a part of the GOAT conversation, because it wouldn't have been no question. Everybody would have knew it. Mario Moore, because he wasn't stopping Mario Moore. There was no stopping that Minnesota Lynx team. But with that being said, AJ Wilson, she's definitely in the GOAT conversation now. And far be it for me to say, she's ahead of Diana Taurasi in my GOAT conversation. It's literally between her, AJ Wilson, and Maya Moore. That's the only two I care about. Maya Moore and AJ Wilson. Those are the only two that's going to be in my GOAT conversation. I get that Diana Taurasi had a hell of a career, 20-plus year in the WNBA, and she's done a lot of things. But the short amount of time for AJ Wilson and Maya Moore to do what they did, I am not overlooking that. I get longevity, but longevity doesn't work for me. Especially when you don't have more championships than Mario Moore. And AJ Wilson is about to catch, is on her way to try to catch her fourth NBA WNBA championship. Just throwing that out there. And just so y'all don't know, look at this right here. Look at this account. This is just from this season when it comes to AJ Wilson. this season, we ain't talking her career, this season alone, first player WNBA history with 5 consecutive games with 20-plus points and 10-plus rebounds. Became the all-time scoring leader in the Aces franchise history. Recorded her first 2020 game, second player in Aces history to do so. WNBA record 20 consecutive 20-plus points this season. Owns the single season record with 15. She had 15 consecutive 20-point games this season, which culminates with her doing 20 straight from the 5 games she had last season. Most 25, 10-rebound games in a single season. Joined Candace Parker as the only player with 25 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 blocks in a game. Joined Breonna Stewart and Diana Taurasi for most 40-point games in WNBA history with 4. Most 30-plus points, 10-plus rebound games in a single season. That's 8 of them. Most points scored in a single season, over 1,000 points. First player to record 1,000 points in a season. Most rebounds in a single season with 451. Set a new points per game record in a single season, passing Diana Taurasi's 25.3 set in 2006. She got 26.9. She almost had 27. First player to average 25 points and 10-plus rebounds in a single season. She averaged 26.9 points per game and 11.9 rebounds per game. That's just this season. She's the queen, man. She's the queen. And there's nothing else to it. She is the queen. And that's going to do it for Rhonda Hartwood. We're going to take our first and only break. No, we're going to take another break. But we're going to take our first break here. And then when we come back, as you can see on your screen, WNBA playoffs have begun.
The largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant? Weather. Devastating tornadoes ripped through the heart of the United States. Inspiration. A breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy and now begins a future one of matrimony or sports. Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network, in association with Comey Media Incorporated, proudly present The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but 3 countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gear, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Liz has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Liz.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week in an objective manner and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast, every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying, but this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah, they want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe. Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out. Now, I was going to talk about the WNBA playoff set, but some interesting news broke on Breach Report that I ended up catching on my phone. Now, I'm still searching to make sure everything is correct with this, but I do, in a way, trust Breach Report. And it says here, Gonzaga to join Pac-12, leave West Coast Conference amidst conference realignment rumors. So it is being rumored that one of the top basketball programs in college sports is heading to the Pac-12. I'm still researching, trying to figure out if this is actually going to happen or not. But it's looking like the Gonzaga, Mark Few and the Gonzaga Bulldogs are heading to the Pac-12. Okay. It is what it says here, the Pac-12 revitalization continued Monday. The rebuilding conference reportedly added Gonzaga to its ranks as a basketball school. According to Brent McMurphy of Action Network, and the Bulldogs will see a full conference revenue share despite not participating in football. If this turns out to be true, oh my gosh. What a get for the Pac-12 when it comes to basketball. And what a get for Gonzaga, too. They can consider themselves major players now. They can be taken a little more seriously by joining the Pac-12 in some cases. If my good friend Coach Johnson was here, say the Pac-2 because it's only Oregon State and Washington State. But those of you who don't remember, Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State, and Colorado State will be joining the Pac-12 within 2 years in 2026. But I'm gonna keep my eye on this throughout the week, man, because if this comes out to be true, Gonzaga to join the Pac-12, that is a big get for the Pac-12, especially in basketball. Ladies, too, because ladies just made a run for the Sweet 16 this past season. They made a run for the Sweet 16, so the Lady Bulldogs something to play with, too. That's interesting. I need to throw that in there real quick. No? Pac-12 trying to make things happen. I see you, Pac-12. You're fighting. Now let's get to it. The WNBA playoffs. We have made it to the postseason in one of the greatest WNBA seasons that we have witnessed. Okay. And to begin the WNBA season, we had all four matchups that you saw on the screen. They all had game ones on Sunday, on yesterday. And all of them saw the home team go 1-0 in the best of three series. All right. So let's break it down. Okay. Let's start out at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, as the New York Knicks, the number one seed in the WNBA, took care of business against the Atlanta Dream, 83-69. Liberty came out firing, 43% shooting from the field, 34.8% from three-point range. The Dream struggled from three-point, only shooting 18.8% from three-point range. That's not going to get you done on the road when you shoot like that if you're the Atlanta Dream. Shout out to my co-host, Kuma Ken. I'll be seeing him in about 3 hours from now. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll probably call the sports talk. Monster Wrestling, check us out as we get you ready for Monday Night Raw. The Dream shot 39.7%. I know he's not happy about the way his Dream is playing, but my Liberty, we're trying to do something we have never done. Okay, we're trying to win the WNBA championship for once. All right. Here the box scores, you know. Ryan Howard struggled for the Dream. 14 points, you know. 5 of 14 from the field. Tina Charles only 12 points. Not a good showing for the Atlanta Dream. Stewie! Brianna Stewart. Those of y'all don't know, we call her Stewie. 20 points, 11 boards. Probably one of her most quietest 20 points in her playoff career. Because when she goes for 20, you know about it. But Phoebus! Marina Phoebus gave me 21 points on the day. She was 4 from 4 from three-point range, 7 from 8 from the field. It was lovely to see. Sabrina Nesca also gave me 17. But when it was Phoebus' show, and I'm happy that she had a career high on the first day of the playoffs because it was amazing to watch. She was unconscious. When she got the ball, she was not afraid to shoot it, and she saw the ball go through the hoop time after time after time. Also gave me 2 steals, too, so. Good win for New York Liberty. Good win. All right, that's on that side. That was game one. That was your 1 o'clock game on Sunday. You had a 3 o'clock game on Sunday. That game was on ABC. And it featured Caitlin Clark going against the Connecticut Sun. So then you had a fever in the Connecticut Suns, and it was a very interesting fought game in the first three quarters. You know, you saw a 3-point lead by the Suns after one. Then you had an 8-point lead at the half, and then it turned into a double-digit lead after three, and then Connecticut ran away with it in the fourth quarter. Caitlin Clark struggled, but I'm going to get to her struggles in a bit. Connecticut shot almost 50% from both from the field and three-point range. They literally shot 50% from the three-point range, and they shot 49.3% from the field. Indiana, 21.4% from three-point range. Ouch. 40% from the field, that's not bad. That's really not that bad, if I'm being completely honest. But Caitlin Clark struggled. 11 points, 4 for 17 from the field, 2 out of 13 from three-point range. She did give you 8 assists, so it wasn't like she was struggling, did not try to do anything else. She did give you 8 assists, so she was trying to do other things to get the team involved. Kelsey Mitchell, 21 points, 9 for 20 from the field for Kelsey Mitchell. Good crazy, that girl shoot a lot. 2 for 10 from three-point range. Aaliyah Boston, 17 points, 8 for 14 from the field. Aaliyah Boston was more efficient than the other two, but jeez Louise. I'm gonna say this, you know, Kelsey Mitchell, if you're gonna take 20 shots, you need to not take half of them being three-pointers and you're not hitting them. You're in the playoffs now. If you can't be efficient in the playoffs in this league, you're not gonna win. Caitlin Clark, not efficient. Kelsey Mitchell, not efficient. What happened? They got blown out by Connecticut. And by the way, this leads to my point that I said, y'all, if the Indiana Fever can avoid Connecticut in the first round, they'll be all right. Guess what? They didn't avoid Connecticut in the first round. And this is what happens. They got blown out week one. Now, I'm going to get to them in a bit. What about game two? I'll preview game two a little bit later, but I'm just letting y'all know. I didn't like this matchup for Indiana to begin with. I was saying I didn't like this matchup. They avoid Connecticut at all costs, which they couldn't do. And game one showed they got blown out. Okay. DeJuana Bonner, 22 points. That was basically good. She didn't lead the team, though. I'll get that person in a minute. Denaja Carrington, 14 points. Alicia Thomas, 12 points, 10 boards, 13 assists. That is her fourth career triple-double on the year. Very, very spectacular day for her. But she wasn't the star of the show. The star of the show goes to Marina Marbury. 27 points. She was on fire. She was not missing. And it took the soul out of Indiana. Anytime Indiana tried to make a run, Marina Marbury made sure that thing went right back up to where it's supposed to have been and kept it moving. There's been a lot of talk on social media platforms about the whole thing that went down with her getting traded to Connecticut from Chicago. Now, I do know the story. She did ask for a trade at the beginning of the season. It didn't happen. So Chicago kept her all the way up to All-Star break, or the Olympic break in this case, and then traded her to Connecticut. As you can see, Chicago went down here and then kept and didn't hold on to the AC that went to the Atlanta Dream. And Marbury comes out in game one of her playoff debut with the Connecticut Suns and go for 27. She's happy. I know there's Chicago fans, they're happy with the draft picks, but you can be happy with the draft picks all you want to. What is your front office going to do with them draft picks? Because they don't do nothing with them draft picks. That trade of Maria Marbury to a contending team makes y'all look stupid. So, yeah, I can be happy with the draft picks all you want. But guess what? If you're not going to do anything with them, then what's the point of being happy if you don't have a competent front office that know what to do with the draft picks? Okay? It looks good on paper that you got draft picks. But what are the draft picks going to turn into if you're a Chicago Sky fan? That is the question. As of right now, the question for the Canadian Suns, they have none, because Maria Marbury is what they needed to go along with DeJuana Bonner and Alicia Thomas. Somebody who can shoot the ball. And there you go. That was game 2 of 4 of the WNBA playoff debut. Let's go to Minnesota, the Twin City, the second-ranked team in the WNBA, the Minnesota Lynx, hosting the Phoenix Mercury. And a game where I thought we was going to have a Noah blowout, because you remember, New York blew out Atlanta, Connecticut blew out Indiana. I thought this game was going to end in a blowout. Well, they was up 23 points at one point in time, if you're the Minnesota Lynx, and the Phoenix Mercury fought back. Fought back so much that they actually took the lead at one point in the fourth quarter, and then Minnesota finished that off. Okay. Minnesota 49% from the field, 41% from three-point range. And this is a rarity right here. A team on the road that can shoot 50% from the field and almost 52% from three-point range, and you lose the game. See, if Phoenix didn't go down 23 early in the game, maybe you gave yourself a better chance winning the game and stealing home court from Minnesota. When I say steal home court, meaning Minnesota would be in dire straits with game 2 and game 3. But that wasn't the case. You fought back violently. Natasha Cloud was on one. My friend, let me tell you. Natasha Cloud, man. 33 points. Natasha Cloud was on a mission. She was not trying to lose that game. She did everything she could. 33 points, 10 assists, 6 boards. Efficient shooting. She was 50% shooting from 3-point range. She was 14 for 23 from the field. Diana Taurasi was chipping in as well. 21 points. Shot 50% from both the field and 3-point range. Kalia Cobb gave you 16. You ain't get much from Brittany Griner. Problem is, Kaylin McBride with 20. Carlton gave you 12. But the player of the day for that game, no other than Alicia Collier, the runner-up in the MVP conversation. And it's no choice. 38 points. She's dropped 38 points. She was 11 for 19 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3-point range, and she also decided to give you 6 rebounds. I mean, what more do you need? It's just you Nafisha Kari was not losing at home. While Latasha Cloud was trying to do her best to make sure we don't look stupid and get blown out by them and try to win this game because it is playoff time, Nafisha Kari was not losing at home, especially game one. 38. She could have went for 40 if she wanted to. She could have matched the number of minutes she played. She played 40 minutes and she was a bucket away from having 40 points. Good grace. That woman is something else. It's a reason why she's the second best player in the WNBA right now. She's the second best player in the WNBA right now. She finished second in voting. I mean. And the Minnesota Lynx was not picked at all to be contenders for the WNBA title. We didn't know what we was going to get from Minnesota, and they came out of nowhere. The Commissioner's Cup winner, by the way. Remember that, Commissioner's Cup winners. Minnesota Lynx. So 102-95 win for the Minnesota Lynx. Three games, three home teams win. There's only one game left. And we're talking about the reigning defending back-to-back champions, the Las Vegas Aces, going against the Seattle Storm in the 4-5 matchup. Aces the 4-seed, Storm the 5-seed, and Storm came out firing. Held the Aces, held the defending champs to 9 points in the first quarter. I'm like, okay, this is getting pretty interesting. They kept the lead at halftime. They had a 4-point lead at the break. Okay, had a 1-point lead going to the fourth quarter, and then the Storm was no longer a storm, not even a tropical storm. Okay, not even a thunderstorm. It wasn't even a storm no more. It was just cloudy skies. Okay, no rain, no snow, no hail, no nothing in the fourth quarter because the Aces locked their asses down in the fourth quarter. They only scored 2 points.
I kid you not.
I had to go and I really had to dive into this to make sure that what ESPN put was correct. Only 2 points in the fourth quarter. And I looked, I said, oh my goodness. And they were right. The Seattle Storm, ladies and gentlemen, in the fourth quarter were 0-for-12 shooting in the fourth quarter. 0-for-12 shooting in the fourth quarter. Skyler, what happened? By the way, the only 2 points came from Skyler Diggins-Smith at the free throw line. That was a 2 points. Skyler Diggins-Smith at the free throw line. Skyler, who started off very well in the game. I don't know what happened in the fourth quarter. And I watched the game. I still can't tell you what happened in the fourth quarter. Jewel Lord was nowhere to be found throughout the entire game. So the Gold Mama wasn't there. Nike Agumake. She tried to pick her spots because she understood the defense was keying on her, but it didn't help. Gabby Williams, the French sensational from back the Olympics, she still haven't found her groove yet. Even though she did finish the season pretty strong, I think she had like a 23-point performance game. And one of the final two games for the Storm, she didn't look good either. And see, and this is one of those when you had the champs on the ropes early in the game, you need to knock them out. You held them down to 9 in the first quarter, and you didn't knock them out. You didn't put your foot on the gas pedal and run away with it in the second quarter, making it very difficult for them to begin the second half with a chance to come back. You let them come back standing. You was up 9. You doubled them, as you can see, 18-9. Then you let them come back. They trimmed more than half of that lead down from 9-4 at halftime. Then they cut it down to 1 going into the fourth quarter, which means they had a chance. And when you give the champs the chance to win the game, they're going to take it because they've been here and done that before. Not once, but twice. And they showed you why. While they locked your ass down in the fourth quarter, they made sure they put it to the metal and beat you by 11. So from the first quarter to the final buzzer, you went from a 9-point lead to losing by 11. That is a 20-point differential after the first quarter to the final buzzer. Basically, they outscored y'all by 20 from the second quarter on through the fourth. Seattle, you have no. This is not what you need to do. If you're trying to knock off the reigning defending back-to-back champions, when you had them down, you have to knock them out. Hopefully y'all learned that because it went from Vegas struggling to y'all struggling. 36.8% shooting from the field. 25% shooting from three-point range, you're not going to win in the playoffs. You're not winning in the playoffs. The champs, they shot almost 39% from three-point range, and they shot 43.5% from the field. You're just not going to win that way. You're not going to win that way. So y'all missed a golden opportunity to knock out the champs. A very golden opportunity. Very, very golden opportunity. And as we can get to the box score here, Skylar Diggins-Smith, 16 points, 5 and 15 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3-point range with 8 assists and 4 rebounds. Guess what? Most of that came in the first half. She was the only one that got the 2 points in the fourth quarter. So she, if I remember correctly, I think she had like 10 points in the first half. And then only 6 in the second half, which 4 came in the third quarter and only 2 came in the fourth quarter. Jewel, I told you, Gold Mamba didn't show up in the Las Vegas. She only gave you 6 points. Agumma K, 13 to 10. Like I said, she was picking her spots because she understood the defense was geared to stop her. So she picked her spot. She played the game. She was playing the game as it went along. Okay, so she was trying to find her spot, and she picked what she could. Gabby Williams, 14 points, 8 boards. She's trying, but it's not flowing for her right. It's not flowing for Gabby Williams right now. I think it could be that she spent all that energy preparing her French national team for the Olympics because they was hosting it. And it's now that she's back in the WNBA, it just got taken out of her during the Olympic break. Yeah, I don't try to figure out is that what it is, because she's struggling. There's no doubt about it. She's struggling. So I'm thinking she's probably fatigued, but she's trying to fight through it, especially now because in the playoffs. Jackie Young started off slow, but gave you 12 points. Chelsea Gray, 16 points. Of course, the MVP herself, 21 points. With 8 boards, and I think she had 5 blocks as well. As she is the star player for this game. Yes, she had 5 blocks, 21-8-5. But you're probably asking yourself, she only had 21 points, so somebody else had to chip in, right? Somebody did have to chip in off the bench. So while the news media would give it to the MVP, and I would not disagree with that, I'm not going to argue. She is the queen of the WNBA, but I do have an unsung hero for game one of the basketball season. Las Vegas Aces took Tiffany Haynes, the unsung hero for this, because 20 points off the bench when the Aces were struggling the way they were in the first half. She came off the bench, gave you 20 points, 8 from 12 from the field, that's 66.7%. Oh, and by the way, she shot the same percentage from 3-point range, and she went 2 for 3 from 3-point range. She gave them the spark that they needed to get them going. You put Tiffany Hayes in, you put Alicia Clark in, and then all of a sudden, the Aces, the champs, they got a spark. They can feel themselves. Okay, Alicia Clark, she gave you 7 points. Doesn't sound like a lot, but she gave you 7 points. She went 2 for 3 from the field, 1 for 2 from the 3-point range in key moments, okay? All right. She was a plus 15, a plus minus, because I know how people are. Some of these analytic people like plus minus. So Alicia Clark, plus minus, plus 15. Tiffany Hayes, plus minus, plus 12, okay? When you needed a spark off the bench, you got the spark that you needed. Becky Hammon was looking for somebody to, hey, get us in the game. All you got to do is get us in the game. Our starter, they will find their way into the game. We need somebody to keep us in the game. Tiffany Hayes, Alicia Clark. Unsung hero will go to Tiffany Hayes. 20 points off the bench. You can't ask for much better than that from your bench, especially from one player on your bench. So you are the unsung hero for the Las Vegas Aces, and you're the unsung hero of yesterday. Of all of yesterday's games, you're the unsung hero because everybody's going to talk about Asia Wilson and what she did. 21 points, 8 boards, 5 blocks. No problem. But we're not going to sit here, especially with me watching the game last night. Tiffany Hayes was the spark that they needed to get them through that game. So, Tiffany Hayes, you did your job, and I hope people will understand and give you the props that you need today. That you deserve, because you are part of the reason why the Aces didn't get run out of their own building by the Seattle Storm, because they could have went that way. But you kept them in it along with Alicia Clark. Okay, you kept them in it, you kept fighting, and then you let your MVP finally get her groove on. And when she got her groove on in the second half, it was okay, here she comes. and there was nothing the Storm can do about it. So good job, Alicia Clark. You got one for the home team. All right, now we're going to take another quick break here. Then when we come back, get you ready for the upcoming games for the rest of the first round, and then that'll be it. You might get to see the second round earlier than expected. I'll get you ready for it.
I love you, you morons. You kiss from the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the excitement and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel. Join the Transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the Reformer of Hooker Whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the Bronze Claw.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up here on today on this episode of Shooting Lights Out, Game 1's are in the book, so we got to know what Game 2 is tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Liberty look to end the Atlanta Dream in Game 2 at home at Barclays Center at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. A win by the Liberty and the Dream are done. The Dream win, then there'll be a Game 3 on Thursday as a winner take all. All right? And then the same thing applies at 9:30 after Liberty and Dream. Aces will try to put the fantasy touches to the Seattle Storm at 9:30, or will the Storm force a Game 3 winner take all on Thursday? And then that is tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Both games are on ESPN, so one stop, one shop for both. And then Wednesday, we get the other two series, both on ESPN as well, 7:30 p.m. Connecticut Suns trying to end Caitlin Clark's rookie season with a 2-0 sweep of the Indiana Fever, or would Caitlin Clark give the fan bases in Indiana a home playoff game for once and force a winner-take-all in Indianapolis? But they have to win in Connecticut, something they have not done this year. And then finally, at 9:30, after Suns Fever, the Minnesota Lynx and the Chicago Bulls try to end Diana Taurasi's quote-unquote career as of right now and take out the Phoenix Mercury. But I have a feeling Natasha Cloud, Brittany Griner, Kalea Copper, I don't think they're ready for the season to end yet. So they will fight long and hard to make sure that Diana Taurasi has won at least one more home game in Phoenix. But they got to go to the Twin Cities and win in Minnesota, which they haven't done all season as well. So if Indiana or Phoenix, you know, win the games twos on Wednesday, we'll have game threes on Fridays in their respective cities. All right. So tomorrow and Wednesday, all four road teams need a win to continue their season. But if home teams win tomorrow and Wednesday, like they did yesterday, our semifinals will be set, okay? And those of you who are trying to figure out how this goes, the winner of these two series will face off against each other in the semifinals, and the winner of these two series will face off against each other in the semifinals. So we could get a WNBA Finals rematch between the Liberty and the Aces in the semifinals, and we could get a semifinals matchup between the Lynx and the Suns, depending on how tomorrow and Wednesday go. And that will do it for today's episode of Shooting the Lights Out. Thank y'all for tuning in on our Facebook page, the Playmakers Blog Sports Network, our Facebook page, the Playmakers Blog Facebook page. Also, you can hear this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. And you also hear this on the Real Rise Radio and 502 American Angel Radio. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to run through the playoffs, I am the Playmaker signing off. Have a good one.
You've done great, but you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better keep it again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.